studying in 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, and I'd like to look at that a little bit this morning. I've read a little bit of Adam Clark on this book, and he feels like it's not addressed to a particular city or church like the other epistles in the Scripture are addressed, but he feels like it's more of a treatise that was to the entire church because of the doctrines that were being propagated in his day. And we see that, I want to notice 1 John 1:4. It says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And I would like to get 1 John 2nd chapter, the 26th verse. It says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." And then in the 19th verse in that same chapter, it says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." And so there was a lot of false doctrines that were being propagated. And you've heard probably the word Gnostic. It's called Gnosticism, kind of the body of knowledge that Gnosticism taught. The word Gnosis is knowledge. And that's what they prided themselves. They felt like they had special knowledge, more than what other people had, of the way of salvation that was essential to salvation. And so they felt like that the apostles actually corrupted the teachings of Christ, and that they had the true knowledge. But we see here there was a separation, there was a division, and we realize that division causes confusion, it causes uncertainty. And I'm impressed with the overall book that John establishes different points. And, you know, "These things are we into that your joy may be full." He was saying different things that kind of helped cement or establish the things that they had. I want to notice Revelations. In the book of Revelations, see if I can find it here. Revelations 2, verse 6. It says, this is the church at Ephesus. It says, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." Now, this is the same thing. It's Gnosticism. It's doctrines that were corrupting the church, corrupting the people of God. And that's why John wrote his book. He said, "I wrote this concerning them which seduce you." And Adam Clark, I haven't quite made the connection with Nicolaitans and Gnostics as Adam Clark has, but I believe it's the same thing that the church was battling. Also, Revelations 2 and 15. It says, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 15. It says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. So this is the Lord speaking through the Apostle John that he didn't like their doctrine and he didn't like their deeds. Also, in verse 20, this is to the congregation in Thyatira. It says in verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, I'm not for sure. I haven't made the connection with the teacher of Jezebel, but I want to. These cities are in close proximity. They're only a few miles apart. Ephesus and Smyrna are really close, and Thyatira is not too far away. It was across the peninsula from Greece and western Turkey. And so these doctrines, basically one of the things that they were teaching was that the body and the spirit, there's two different entities, which, you know, we agree. I mean, there's a spirit, and man, there's a body. But they believed that you could sin in the body and it didn't affect your spiritual condition. And Adam Clark confirmed that they participated in heathen sacrifices. And that's what the Jezebel, he said, you seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. The history was saying that they believed it was okay to participate in the sacrifice unto idols. But we know that true Christianity didn't accept that. They didn't do that. They only acknowledged one God. And so there was a lot of evil with that doctrine that was being spread. And it's almost similar today in a lot of ways, because a lot of the Christian world, a lot in general, have accepted a lot of things, and it's like it doesn't really affect their relationship with God, the things that they do. And we don't believe that this morning. We believe the things that we do. Paul, in one place, he said, be holy both in body and spirit in all that you do. Our physical, our choices, our decisions that we make affect our relationship with God. And that's not what the Nicolaitans, what they taught. They viewed the gospel as being too legalistic. And they feel like the apostles added things that Christ didn't add. So he starts his gospel in the first chapter. I'd like to read the first chapter, the first verse. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, John was one of the apostles. He was a disciple of Christ. He lived with him. They ate together. They slept together. They just traveled together. They did. He was there. He knew, and that's what he's saying. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Now, it's only not just heard, but we saw him. We seen him with our eyes. We have looked upon. We handled him. We touched him. And we know that John, many times, it talks about him leaning on Jesus' breast. I mean, he was close. And it's referred to as the disciple that Jesus loved. He was probably one of the younger of the disciples. But there was a close connection, and that's what he's saying. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So John was confirming to them that he had given to them. He didn't add to. And when you read the scriptures and the rest of the epistles, everything's backed up by the gospel. Everything's backed up by what Jesus had taught them and instructed them in. And so John was confirming and, you know, that they had seen, they had been with him, they handled him, and they was a witness to what Christ. In verse 5 it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Now, this is the message. This kind of stood out to me, this verse. It said, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Now, darkness, what is darkness?
Absence of light.
What's that?
Absence of light.
Okay, absence of light. Any other definitions? The people in darkness saw a great light. What does that mean?
Well, I think in this particular context, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking the lost is in darkness.
The lost? Okay. What? Let's go a little further. What makes a person lost?
Spiritual deception. I think that's the primary context of what the apostle was referring to here.
Spiritual deception, darkness, evil, sin. When people are lost in sin, they're in darkness. There's not the light, there's not the understanding in their heart and mind. It's darkness. And what he's saying here, that there is no darkness in God. There is no evil in God. There is no sin in God. There is no flesh in God. evil flesh. There's nothing. He's pure. He's righteous. He's holy. He's undefiled. And that's the message. That's what they saw in the life of Christ. Brother Galen brought out the express image of the Father. He was the exact image, the exact thing that what Jesus was, the Father is. And there was no sin in Jesus. There was no guile found in his mouth. There was no evil that they could attach. And believe me, they would have if they could have. In one place, Jesus asked them, he said, "Which one of you convinced me of sin?" He didn't have no sin. And if he had, they would have nailed that to him. They would have put that on him if there was, they were looking, they scrutinized everything that he did. And they were looking for something. They were purposely trying to find fault with him. Healing on the Sabbath day, different things that he did. They were trying to find fault with everything, but there was no sin. There was no darkness in Him. I think about darkness. I want to get a scripture in Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 19th verse. Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 19th verse. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And then he goes on to say, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now, he said, if the light that is in you, the understanding that's in us, if it's darkness, that's spiritual deception. That's spiritual darkness. That's being deceived when the light that I have is actually really darkness. That's spiritual deception. But I want to notice this part about laying up treasures, not laying up treasures upon earth. And then he goes right on into saying that the light of the body is the eye. Now, eye often refers to the desires, what we see. Eve, you know, when she saw the forbidden fruit, it was her eyes that perceived, that took that in and saw. But it was the desire. There was a desire within her that Satan, tempted. There was a drawing there. There was a temptation that she was drawn into, and it was so the eye represents the desire, the desires of the heart. Now I'm gonna. If the Lord is not our number one desire, if He is not our number one treasure in our life, if we have treasures that we have in front of God. Now, I believe the Lord allows us to enjoy things in life. He gives us nice things to enjoy in those. But if God becomes second place in our life and He's not first, there's other treasures that are ahead of Him, I believe we go into darkness. I believe it begins to darken our mind and our understanding and our hearts towards the things of God and what God has for us. There's another place where it talks about the heart waxed gross. It means that the heart has become callous because a person is going after their own desires, going after the things that they want, instead of putting self down and putting and exalting God first in their heart, in their life. And I don't know if I've seen it quite like this before, but these scriptures, I believe, are going together. They make sense. They fit together, that if we allow something other than God to become first place, a treasure, He said that's where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And then it brings darkness. It darkens our understanding. And that's how we're we become deceived. You know, deception is one thing that it really concerns me, in this, because the Scriptures talk a lot about being deceived. It talks about deception. Revelations, take heed that no man deceive you. Let no man take thy crown. So it's important for us in our Christian life to put God, to make sure He's first in our life, the things that we do and our thoughts, that He has priority in first place in our life. I believe that will help us to walk. Another place it said, walk in the light while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. And I believe that's where dishonesty has... I don't believe we're deceived just because somebody that said... I mean, it's not because someone just tricks us, so to speak. It's because I believe deception comes when I become dishonest with myself and I begin to accept things that are contrary to light, that are contrary to truth, that are leaning towards evil. I begin to accept things less when I become dishonest. That's where deception comes in. And that's where deception begins. It can begin to darken a person's mind and their heart. And they, you know, he said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, a pure heart, a pure purpose for God, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. And Gnosticism, they were claiming greater light. They were claiming greater knowledge. The word gnosis, that's what they prided themselves in, that they had more knowledge. But it was against the commandments of God. It was against what the Lord had written. And it sounds so... it sounds like what is in our world today, not just in the religious world, in the world. It's like there's such a downplay upon what the Bible teaches in comparison with what is woke or what's accepted in the world today. It's like the Bible's old, that's old dogma. We're past that. We're past... it's all false. That's deception. When we disregard what God has written, the commandments of God, and we're disobedient, that's sin. That's darkness. And John is writing... I want to look now at... well, there's another verse I wanted to get real quick. John 3:19. And Jesus... Gospel of John 3:19. It says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So here's the heart. It said men loved darkness. They loved the evil. They loved sin. They loved wrong rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. But this lets me know that it involves the affections of man, the heart of man. We want to guard our hearts. We want to keep our love and our affections on things above, not on things of this world. I want to go back now to the first epistle of John. He said, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So, he's trying to clarify and make this point. You can't do both. And that's exactly what the Gnostics were teaching. You could follow the flesh, and you could follow God. You could have both. But he says here in verse 6, and it's repeated in different ways over and over, but what it's doing to me is establishing, trying to get rid of the confusion that they were probably faced with. There in Revelation, some of those scriptures, the Ephesian church, he said, "This thou hast, thou hatest the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." So the Ephesian congregation, the doctrine was there, but that congregation hated that doctrine. They despised that doctrine, and he said, I hate that too. So that was one of their condemnations, but commendation. That was a commendation to them. That was a praise and honor to them that they had hated that doctrine. But there was other of those congregations that said, "Thou hast those that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, so which thing I hate." But they hadn't all, some of them hadn't all accepted. Smyrna, I believe, had some that had not defiled their garments. They weren't accepting that teaching and that doctrine. And so he said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, when we give our hearts to God and we come to him, we repent of our sins, we turn from sin, we turn from evil, we turn from wrong. We've got to continue in that path. We've got to continue to shun those things that would draw us away from Christ and draw upon our hearts and cause us to err. We've got to shun those things and hold the gospel, a pure gospel that Jesus taught. I believe it's important for us to have a pure gospel that turns away from sin and evil and wrong. And Jesus told, and this is established in John, when he told them, he said, "You'll know them by their fruits." You know, a good tree will bring forth good fruit, and an evil tree brings forth corrupt fruit. And that's what Jesus, and that's what he's saying here. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, we don't really hear of the word Gnosticism, Gnostics, very much in our time. But I believe it's the same spirit that's working in our world today, even in the religious world. There are things that people are accepting in the name of Christianity that's a total disgrace. And it's hard to understand. How can you read the Bible and accept it? I mean, how can you read the Bible? How can you study the Scriptures and accept, you know, whether it's lesbianism or homosexuality or some of the gross things that are, how can you read the Scriptures? And it's because of darkness. It's because people have been deceived. Their heart has been led astray, away from God, and darkness sets in. We'll stop there with that. I'll probably continue on with some more of this later. But it's very important for us to walk in truth, to hold truth, and to keep our affections centered upon God and things above. I believe if we do that, the Lord will help us keep us from being deceived. And I believe, as I mentioned earlier, I believe deception is, you don't get deception without being dishonest. There comes a point where you have to accept something less than what God is desiring. Appreciate your attention this morning.